Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of RHAP's coverage of Big Brother Australia VIP. I'm your host, Sarah Carradine. I'm podcasting today from the unceded lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. And as always, I'm here with verbally intent princess, Amy Chan. Good morning, Amy.
I finally got called a princess, Jo. Thanks for having me, Sarah. Very excited to be here. I'm on Wiradjuri land and I am thrilled about this bonus episode we've got for you guys. I think you'll be very excited when you see what we've got coming up.
That's right, because we are not alone. We first met him in 2017 and he captured us with his joy, his wit and his warmth. He broke our hearts in 2019 when he was the robbed god of All Stars, spoiler, and we showed him our love by awarding him more than the winner got. This week we made him our king, Loki Toki, god of mischief, the people's prince, king of the jungle, and now king of the hotel, Big Brother Australia VIP winner, Luke Toki. Hello, Luke.
Ah, wow, I love that entrance. Thank you.
We are so excited to have you here today. So we kind of want to get into everything to do with the season and how it all went and how you felt about it. So first of all, when did you find out? Did you find out Sydney time, Perth time? How did you find out about it?
So I found out Perth time. So I was working and then I passed my motorbike test that same day. So I drove, I rode back home and put my phone in my pocket and didn't look at it.
Yeah, awesome. So when you opened your phone, did you then get 10 million messages?
It was definitely running hot. So I didn't even reply back to many people because I had to work the next day. So I just looked at a few of them and then just thought, oh, I'll have to deal with this tomorrow, you know. But I wanted to make a little post because obviously when I'm with the wife and my sister and the kids and stuff, I just want to just enjoy that moment in the lounge room rather than jump on the phone, you know.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so were you literally watching on the couch with everybody else when you found out?
Yeah, it was just my three kids, my wife and my sister, just 9 o'clock or whatever it was in WA time.
What a bizarre experience that must have been to sort of, you know, go from this thing that happened a few months ago to then just sitting at home and all of a sudden you've won, but there's nobody there.
Exactly. Because you wouldn't have even got my reaction. Like, I didn't record my reaction. It was just, but I was you think about these events, you know, everyone watches them different ways. I know Ellie was doing a live and a bigger event thing every week. And, you know, I'm not too sure. I'd say Josh would have been just sitting there watching on the couch, but that was the same as me. I did one little thing for the first episode. There was this little restaurant that kind of was happy to put it on and put on all the TVs. And I got all my old friends that I've known for my whole life and stuff, and they all came down and celebrated with me. But every episode after that was just me on the couch or at work and having to watch it the next day, catch up. So not a big spectacle for every episode. But I like it.
Yeah, I imagine when you go to the big spectacles, it's probably quite hard to hear what's actually happening in the episode, is it?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard also to know what's happening when you've got a two-year-old crawling all over you too. we're trying to put her to bed before each episode, but it's not easy putting a child down that does not want to go to sleep.
No.
Especially when dad's home. Yes.
Well, yeah, dad's home and dad's on TV. That's double excitement.
And she was on TV too. We got some lovely surprise looks at her and she's completely delightful.
Oh, she's so cute. She is so funny. It was cool. Like, I can't wait for her to get a bit older and actually see it back because even now, this was the first season my other kids actually watched. They haven't sat down and watched Survivor. I don't know why. They always got a little bit bored with it, maybe. I'm not too sure. But the eldest, Lennox, he sat down and watched the whole Big Brother, and he always wanted quiet time just like us. He was like, quiet, quiet, quiet. So it was pretty cool to see him actually want to watch it.
Yeah, awesome. So most of our listeners are, you know, because we're RHAP, have a strong Survivor background. So tell us a bit about what was kind of the difference between playing Survivor and Big Brother? Like, are you able to cut and paste strategy that you use on Survivor and then just apply it to the Big Brother game, or is it different?
Look, I think it's not really I could definitely I went in there with the exact same mentality as Survivor, that in the end, there's only going to be one winner. You know, we're all going to be we all should have been very aware of that. But I kind of think that when you bring in VIPs, I think it adds a different dynamic to the fact that they, they try to, I'd say, protect their image on who they are. It nearly felt like you're at a school. You go to school for the first day, and that kid has rang a hair, so he needs to be voted out first, or that type of thing where, you know, say, for instance, Tom was older and it was like the mentality that he was going to be the first one to go because he hasn't, no one's really gravitated towards him. And I was like, so I would just sit there and listen to people say that. But while they're saying that, I'm like you haven't gravitated towards him. Mm. I have, but you haven't. I'm not going to tell you I have, but I'll let you just talk. Because especially at the start, you know, when you're telling someone that, oh, look, it looks like Tom hasn't really found his place in the house. When I spoke to him and got along with him really well, I just found that as an opportunity that these people all want to vote Tom out. And what it didn't show is how our relationship started from like day four. I actually sat down with him before I even sat down with Bernie and that. And I said, has anyone actually ever talked to you strategy or anything? And he's like, no one, not one bit. And I said, do you think that there's strategy going on? Because we're at day six now or whatever. And this was about two days. I think it was even before the Omarosa vote. It was actually. And I said, well, do you think there's been no strategy talked at all? Because if you think there hasn't been any, it just shows you are completely out of the loop with every single person in this house because I've talked strategy with everyone. And he was like, is that the case? And I was like, yes, which it was the case. That was the truth. And I said, how about this? I said, I like you, Tom. I feel like right now we're being told to vote Bernie out by Matt and Dane because they wanted Bernie to go. But I was like, why vote Bernie out? He's actually a really nice guy. I said, and this is one of the reasons as well why I didn't want Bernie to vote it out is because when I got in the half house, I was then aligned with, I feel like I need to even take it back just in a notch.
Yeah.
Can I take it back enough? Yeah. So, because obviously I'm very highly strategic, you know, and I feel like everyone says that. So you walk into the house day one, you know, I'm in the car with Jess Power, Dane, and was it Tom? Yeah, it was Tom. Anyways, and, you know, I knew Jess Power from Married at First Sight, but she didn't know me. No one knew me other than Bernie when I walked in. Anyways, and the first interaction with everyone is like you're going to a party and no one knows each other, but you all have to find your people. Like usual, the boys go with the boys and the girls go with the girls. And that's fine, you know, like a normal party. Now, I'm not going to sit there and try to just sit down with the girls and be the one guy that sits down with the girls and starts talking. So the boys hang with the boys and the girls hang with the girls. Now, within about probably an hour, we ended up in one of the red rooms with myself, Dane, and Josh. And And because we were just getting along, Matt goes, how about we make a pact right now, us four to the end. My word's my word. Now, I've heard that 1,000 times on Survivor. My word's my word. So, of course, I'm not going to be the only one to go, oh, nah, I don't really, it's too early for me. It's too early. You always put your hand out, shake and go, done. Us four to the end. Whoever, who else, it's bad gameplay to sit there and make a final four in the first hour. Like, we all know that. But Matt did it, which is bad gameplay. But I sat there and was like, yes, obviously we move forward. About an hour later, we swipe the card and I end up in a small room with now Caitlin and Imogen. Now, Imogen, I thought, was going to be the hardest person to actually relate to, because every time she walked past me, I'd be like, hey, and she would nearly like half ignore me, not even say hello. She's very, you know, I feel like she's very strong natured, and to get to know her is a lot probably harder than others. But we were forced to get to know each other, myself, Caitlin and Imogen. We all put it in a house for 2 days and we all listened to each other's story. And I feel like we're all good listeners. So I can listen, Imogen, and so can Caitlin. And we all told stories and we all got along very, very well. Even though I was in that room, I was still thinking strategy, but I felt like because we got along so well, I thought I can align myself to these two, you know, quite well, because I feel like just naturally you're going to play the game with people you like.
Yeah.
But what's happened is obviously we've been taken away from the house. The boys still think there's this four alliance with us. I'm gone. I don't know how they couldn't think that for a second I wasn't going to align with these people that I've just spent that time with for the last 2 days. But I was watching the challenge and I was quite looking at where the relationships had formed and this and that. But anyways, when we get back from the that challenge, we walked in the house and we made friends again with everyone. And then within probably about 20 minutes, Omarosa pulls me aside and goes, just letting you know, I'm with the boys. All right, so that means I'm with you. And I'm like, okay, all right. Well, I've just sat there for 2 days and watched Caitlin like badmouth Omarosa and say certain things about her. And Caitlin, in her head, she wants to get Omarosa out. So, but now I'm aligned to Caitlin and Imogen, and at the same time, I'm aligned to the four boys and Omarosa. I'm like, holy shit, everyone wants to work with me. This is great. All right. So, and at the same time, again, in the next probably 12 hours, and at the moment, Tom still isn't in the picture. So, Tom's still the floater. No one's talked to him, and everyone said that we're going to get Omarosa out, which is from the girls' side. And then we're going to get Tom out. So they're the first two simple picks, where Omarosa is obviously with the boys, and the boys are like, boys alliance, you know, and I don't like that. I don't like that, you know. And so what's happened is in that time, again, me and Bernie are getting along. Bernie goes, just letting you know, I want to work with you, all right? King of the Jungle, he knows he's watched me, his wife's watched me. I like Bernie, love the bloke. He goes, I'm aligned to Ellie. And I was like, well, that's great, because I'm aligned to Caitlin and Ellie's aligned to Caitlin. Mm. Bernie's aligned to Caitlin. Right now, it's day six and I'm aligned to everyone, every single person. Like, I'm aligned to, other than probably Jess and probably Dane. But even though I'm aligned to Dane, I'm in the groups, I could see Dane and Matt were a power couple. Jess and Imogen were, because they knew each other, and Caitlin and Ellie were getting on very well. And I knew that Bernie, me and Ellie were aligned. So there's a three. But I knew I was always going to be third fiddle for that, because I've been brought in as a third.
Yes.
But the one person I got along with was Josh. I like Josh. You know, Josh is a bit quiet. His anxiety kicked in a couple of times on that first tribal when I was like, this dude's a good guy. So this is before even the first vote has happened. You know, this is like me just complete claws into this game already, and it's just because I took my time instead of creating alliances just come to me, you know. So I was able to work out where it all stood. So then I had a chat with the first elimination goes up. I think who voted for who? That's right. We did the first challenge, and Caitlin's team won. And just as the end of the challenge went, I grabbed Caitlin behind the ear and I said, "Don't put me in the seat. Don't put me in the seat." So I tried to put it across to her because I just, even though I was in the house for 2 days, I just wanted to double check that she had my back, and she did, and she wanted Omarosa out. So Omarosa gets put in the chair. Tom gets put in the who was it? Omarosa, Josh, and Tom, was it? Bernie, sorry. So it was so it was Bernie, Josh, and Omarosa. Now obviously the boys, they pull me aside, they're like, "Bernie's gotta go." They don't know I'm aligned to Caitlin and Imogen very strongly. I don't understand how that could have ticked in their head. Obviously, aligning with Bernie and Ellie, which was aligned with Caitlin, made sense for me. And then on the other hand, I pulled Tom aside and said, "Tom, everyone wants to get you out. If it's not Bernie going home, it's you next." And I said, let's create this secret alliance. I said, no one will know about it. I said, your only job is you need to tell everyone that you don't like to talk strategy. So no one thinks you're even a part of any alliance or anything. You just say you don't like strategy, but every time someone comes and talks to you about a plan, you tell me and I'll do the magic. And he's like, done. That's hilarious. All right, that's our relationship. Then I said, well, also the boys right now, we've been told that we need to vote Bernie. And I said, I like Bernie. And I said, and he goes, I like Bernie too. I said, well, why should we vote Bernie? Why? I said, why should we vote him? And then he's like, well, no, that's right. It was Dane on the chair. Dane, Omarosa, and Bernie, first vote. And I said, well, why should we vote Bernie? I said, just because the boys have told us. I know we had that, you know, within an hour, that shake four people to the end type of stuff. But I was like, Dane is very tight with Matt, and I'm probably the least aligned to him. As I said, I'm not really talking to him much. And then I knew Omarosa would have voted my way, even though she was with the boys, because she was so stressed she was going to go because she had this little falling out with Ellie. And I knew that Caitlin wanted her. So I thought, why don't I pull off a cool move right off the get-go to kick this game in the guts so I can give everyone a bit. And I always do it. I've done it in 2017 trying to save Joan. 2019, what happened there in my first vote? Probably something crazy there as well. Like, I always feel like if I can go out of my way and save someone on the first vote, the strength of that alliance with that person grows immensely.
Mm.
And having a very strong friendship in a game, real friendship, none of this shake my hands for 1 hour and say, I've got you to the end, will always pay dividends. And so what happened was, even though Kate, and I thought it'd be cool to blindside Caitlin, even though straight off the back, she was like, what the hell? So what happened was, Bernie came and sat beside me and Tom. I sit and pitched the idea, how about we do a blindside on Dane? And Bernie's like, I don't know if that makes sense. And I'm like, listen, it does. It's going to be a 3-3-4. That means we get the four, me, you, like, so otherwise Bernie going to go home potentially because the boys want you out. I said, Dane wants you out.
Mm.
I said, why would you not blindside Dane knowing he wants you out right now? They all want you out. Matty, they've tried to pull in Josh, me, Omarosa, all them to vote you out right now, Bernie. So, and in the end, they don't have anything to do with Tom, and Tom's good. And so Tom's actually going out of his way to save you right now. Or we could all jump on votes and just vote you out. So Bernie's like, okay, done, let's do it. And I said, we haven't come here to just be friends and vote off people like a school, like we're at school. This is like Survivor, just like Big Brother. There's one winner, you need to get to the end with a good resume. And he's like, let's do it. So then what I did was so me, Tom, and Bernie made a shake. We were like, let's do a 4-3-3, not tell anyone about it, but we'll tell Ellie at the last second because she don't want to leave her in the lurch. And then I went up to Omarosa by myself and I said, if you don't vote Dane, you're probably going home tonight. She's like, all right, I'm voting Dane. So she turned on Dane straight away off that. And there was the 4-3-3. Right at the last second, we pulled Ellie aside and said, hey, Ellie, the plan's changed. Keep voting the way you are, but we're going to vote for Dane. And she's like, why? But why? And, you know, and I was like, look, I'll tell you later. And then we sat down in the chair. Bernie got so, like, the adrenaline that was running through his body and even mine, like, even mine, I was like, holy shit, this is, if it pulls off, it's going to be insane, but it's going to completely blow everyone's mind. But then midway through the chat, he was shaking his head going, nah, nah. And he was holding a zero down beside his chair going, Omarosa, and kept putting that he's changing his vote to Omarosa. And I was like, well, I need to show my loyalty to Bernie because me and Bernie are tight. And Bernie was worried that one thing goes wrong, it doesn't, he goes home. So he voted, he was like, I'm pulling out the plan. And if he pulls out the plan, the whole plan fails. So, and I need to protect the fact that I've tried to do this. So because he was pulling out the plan, I pulled out the plan, which made the five votes, six votes. Anyways, it changed the plan. And then when it all landed, Omarosa still went home, but then Caitlin couldn't work out the numbers. And I was like, they're like, what the hell happened? I said, oh, man, the plan changed at last second, not realizing that I'd been the one trying to create it. And because I tried to blindside Dane, they still didn't work it out, like, because I didn't admit to it. I voted Omarosa. I don't know. It could have been anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. So
did the others see Bernie signaling at you and making the O and nodding at Omarosa?
I don't think so. I think that maybe because Tom still voted. He didn't see it. And so Tom felt like we let him down. And so because Tom felt like we let him down, I blamed that on Bernie. I said, look, Bernie's pulled out of it. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, I was obviously with you. Our secret alliance keeps on. But Bernie's pulled out of it. And from that one, that's when I started changing my tune on Bernie. I was like, well, if he's going to pull out of a plan that could have been very cool, how can I count on him again? And so I started setting up the storyline because I knew he was a very good competitor and he was very strategic and he was very, very social. I was like, I need to set up the downfall of Bernie and Ellie because I'm aligned to them, but I'm always going to be third fiddle. So, and I don't do third fiddle. Like, I either run the game or I have a very tight two, someone I can share and play the game. So that's what happened. That was the first vote. Everyone got back to normal. Everyone tried to work it out. I was like, I voted Omarosa, so I don't know.
We know that in our commentary that you had voted correctly and that one of the lessons you might have brought from Survivor was that ability to camouflage your attempted blindside and to make sure that you were on the right side of the votes.
Yeah. Yeah, if it like, look, it fell apart in the chair and I was able to sit there and rebuild and still keep no one really guessing what's happening. They, I was always able to make people feel like when it's me and them talking strategy and we have a play, it's very special. It's between me and them and no one talks about it. Like, I always really try to say it's, you know, it's between me and you, and then obviously, I do that with a few other people. So, but if two people talked about it, then they'd be like, he just did that with me,
Yes. So do you think, so it sounds like most of the others did not have a strong grasp on how to play the strategy side of it. Is that right?
That's when I realized that very quickly that, Tom, because he had been left out and no one had approached him to talk strategy, I felt like that's when I was like, well, one, to show that no one has approached him to try to make him a number shows that it's like school. It's like who's the cool kids and who's the kids. So the whole voting process out, if I did nothing, would have been like that, a boys and girls voting out who's not the cool kids, who's the old man, that's not with the young crowd. So I take advantage of that and not just take advantage of that. I actually do like Tom. Like, he's actually, I really got along with him in the house. But I took advantage that no one wanted to work with him. And then I made it a very secret alliance between me and him. And the fact that no one wanted to work with him made it even better because it made us even tighter. So he wasn't willing to work with anyone throughout the whole bloody game. And because it was me, I was able to count on him as a, like, now it's like I've always 100% got two votes.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. So me not saving Omarosa probably worked good because she was a big game player, and she probably could have burnt me down the end knowing that I was a gamer, and I think she is a bit of a gamer as well. But by taking her at the house takes out a gamer, which then I realized that not many people are understanding this for what it is, and I was able to actually wind it back a bit. Like, I'm able to go very forward, game, but then I realized everyone, I can sit there and just manipulate this very quietly. I don't need to be game. I can just be like, what do you think about this, you know? So I was able to bring back the strategy. Like, don't get me wrong, I was always thinking strategy, but me pushing it out there into the house or the hotel, I was able to wind that back and understand where it went. So who went next?
Number two was your best friend, Matt.
Oh, yeah, so Maddie. So I actually still like Maddie. So I wanted to keep Maddie over Dane because I just tried to pull a 4-3-3 on Dane. I wanted Dane out more than Matt. So I actually told Matt that I was I played rugby league my whole life. I was with good mates with Matt Rogers and E.T. from other things and played the games with them. I said I went on a fishing trip. I did not say that I swore on my kid's life, so he's full of shit about that. And we sat there, and I told him I'd have his back, and I legit did actually have his back. But unfortunately, he got put in the chair with Tom and Josh. If he got put in the chair with Ellie, maybe got put in the chair with Dane, anyone, of course I'm going to stick them out. But he got put in with Tom, which was a very, very vital ally in my whole game, that I'm never going to vote Tom. And then the other person why I want to vote Dane out is because when I was in the kitchen, he goes, oh, I just told Bernie that I'm going to vote for him. And I was like, wow, that blew my mind. Because after playing two seasons of Survivor, can you imagine how far I would make it if I told someone I was going to vote for him?
Yeah.
I'd be first boot. That's all it is to it. The game does not get played like that. It potentially could be the worst strategy that you could ever put together in history. Like, and that's in a couple of words. I will tell people when I vote for them. And it's actually in the rule book. It says in the spirit of the game, we advise you not to tell people when you are voting for them. So it just shows how unprepared Dane was for this game. He thought he was going to come in there after potentially lying and doing all his stuff, his whole life, his private life, but I don't know what he's doing, come in here and be truthful and live his life, but maybe this was not the right show for him. And that just showed, because after I told Matty I was going to save him when I seen him get put beside Josh, and I was never going to vote Josh because I had a very tight relationship with Josh, and they were my two closest alliance members pretty much throughout the whole game. And then there's Matt in between that I just tried to blindside his best mate, and then it just was a bad situation. Otherwise, I would have preferred Matt to make it midway in the game because I actually did want to keep him in. But obviously, I'm going to sell the dummy like I said I did. I'm going to build up that, yep, I gotcha, because Caitlin thinks, as I said, everyone's voting Tom out because Tom hasn't, no one likes Tom or no one's got close to Tom. So Tom was the solid vote for that night, and I was able to do everything I can to protect Tom, which just showed how much sway I had in the house early on straight away, because if anyone was smart, they would have got Tom out and kept Matt in, but I controlled the vote. So it just made sense for me. Obviously, Matt went. Then Dane got so upset because he's like, did you tell him you were going to vote him out? And I was like, well, no, of course not. I don't play like that. And he got quite aggressive. You could see he was just very upset. But I didn't care because I was just like, deal with it. You know what I mean? Otherwise, or walk. If you're going to leave, leave. Because you obviously you're not prepared for this. So they actually took him out the game and went and
so
met
do
him.
You think Dane actually ever was oh, I was just going to say, do you think Dane actually ever was going to walk?
I can't speak on, you know, that. I think that I think the next day after him having a sleep, maybe just chilled him out. They took him to go see Matt. Out. So after Matt got voted out, I think he went and seen him, and obviously Matt would have just been like, get revenge, you know, blah blah blah. He kind of I wasn't there, I didn't see it, but I know he pulled Jess aside or went past Jess and called her a bloody snake in her face or something like that, because obviously Jess you know, blindsided Dane as Maddie as well. And but you can see on the video, you know, Matt was and Dane were talking shit about Jess for about 2 days. And then when Matt needed Jess's vote, he's like nearly hugging her, going, can I count on your vote? Like, you know, you can sit there and like say yous are these almighty great people, but yous for days I watched and sat there and was like, they're like, oh, Jess is this, Jess is that. And I was like, I actually don't mind Jess. Like, you know, I actually have no problem with Jess. Like, it was like when someone talks shit about someone, obviously I'm just going to listen to them, but I have my own brain. I can think however I want and make my own opinion up. I don't need to sit there and jump in on this little group and be like, yeah, she does talk too much, because when I think about it, I talk too much. So maybe what you're talking about her and then hugging her, and then maybe you're talking shit about people and then you're being around them. Like, I don't like to talk shit about people and be around them. Like, I'd rather, if I'm talking shit about you, I don't like to even be around you. So that's the way I see it. Anyways, you know, Dane woke up with a different attitude the next day. We all kind of, I know he dislikes me even to this point now, but I don't care.
Well, he had the opportunity to offer himself in the next elimination, and he didn't take it. So I think the talk about you know, vote me out, I'm going to leave the game, I'm over it, was, yeah, as you say, a good sleep, and you wake up with a different attitude.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I'm happy he stayed, because, you know, I feel like even though we probably aren't, you know, we don't like each other or whatever, we're both two different people, I think that he kind of near the end at least gauged the game a bit more. And he understands that, you know, you can, like, that everyone, that these slimy people on the show, that they're not, you know, that it's just a game. So, you know, with Maddie gone now, it made it very clear that I want a Dane out even more from there. But it's and I continued with my strategy with Tom and Josh, and I was able to go to Tom. I told you, brother, I got you back. The boys wanted you out. It was funny because they were counting on mine and Tom's vote to get out Bernie, and you know, I still have Bernie and Ellie in there. I still have Caitlin, which I'm aligned to. I had a secret one with Imogen, but we never talked strategy, me and Imogen. It was just like I feel like we just had each other's back without saying. So. Yeah, so who went next? Who
went next? Caitlin went next.
Caitlin, yeah. So yeah. Caitlin, I think in you know, that situation, Danny's come back. When I seen Danny as well, I was like, oh, that's right. Maddie was in the seat with Danny. So the problem was with Danny, I seen Danny, I was like, dude, I've got to work with this guy. Like, just for the fact of the people at home sitting on the couch. Like, I'm always like, the guys on the couch would love to see us two work together. That's why I followed him into the diary room and snuck away from everyone. I was like, dude, me and you, let's do it. Just because I know, like, you're a loose cannon and you like to entertain, let's have a bit of fun with this. And he doesn't, you know, hold a bite, or what I gauge, he just enjoys playing the game. So that's another reason why I was like, I got to have Danny over Matt. I got to have Danny over other people. Once again, Caitlin, I think in her contract had something settled in where she would have had to leave. I don't know exactly. I can't confirm because I don't know, but I would gauge that that was the case, that she's either gone to Big Brother at some point and gone, I'm still in the game, I need to leave. Can you organise something so I have to leave? I'm not too sure. So she left, which was simple, nothing to do with that. The game moves forward. Danny, I told that me and Josh, I said, you've got two numbers. You've got, I know you've got me. Danny brings in a key, a Big Brother key that he had from last season, and to give as a present to, because he said he wanted to work with me, present for me and my kids, my two boys. And he bought me a little yellow rubber ducky from his season to give to my daughter. And he said, these are little presents for your kids to see if you can work with me. And I was like, done. Sweet. I was going to work with you anyways. I'd now have one of them up for auction for Josh's charity, the key. I gave the little duck to my daughter and she lost it. So, but it was such a nice gesture. And even before Daniel left, that we talked about real estate and how I want to get into real estate. And I'm studying real estate now while working for my mining gig. And he gave me his Porsche. What are the things that put in the your suit that you tie up that pit with your wrist?
Cufflink.
Cufflinks, yeah. So he gave me cufflinks, Porsche cufflinks or something. It was really nice. So irrelevant. He's still in the game. Now, I've told him that me and Josh, I've got him back. I haven't told him that me and Tom are aligned. So he doesn't know nothing about it. I never even told Josh about that. That was my secret alliance. Now, at that point, I still have in the head that I'm going to blindside Bernie and Ellie. So Danny didn't have to go after Bernie, but he did. He wanted to make a show of it. And I woke up in the morning, walked out to get coffee. They're like, oh, it's on. Danny's going after Bernie. I was like, we could have done a secret blindside. But he blew it by telling Bernie he's going to go for him. Everyone's being so nice and da-da-da. And I was like, I could have set you up for you to be potentially in the game. You never know. It could have been the end. But he decided to go out and do a one-on-one, Bernie versus me. He lost the challenge. Bernie decided to keep Dane out of the chair, which then again put Tom and Josh in the chair beside Dane. Once again, my alliances were so much tighter with Josh and Tom that it made bad sense to keep Danny in the game because Danny was a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And that was the strategy behind that. And I even went in, like, because I knew Danny could see the writing on the wall because he could see that I was going to change my vote off Josh or Tom. So he knew that I had a lot of pull in the house. But when he realized that maybe he'd miscalculated, he'd stuffed up and, you know, he was pleading to me and Ellie, but it wasn't going to happen because he'd made too many little enemies, I'd say, really quickly by being a whirlwind. Upsetting the apple cart, would you say? So what happened was I even went in and said to Danny after he was really upset 5 minutes before, I said, look, brother, I think I've done it. I've saved you. I've saved you from the game. And he nearly broke down crying. He was like, I'm so thankful. And I was like, just joking. You're actually going home. There's nothing I could do. Like, and he was like, you bastard. I was like, dude, you should have went crazy this morning. Like, you know, what the hell? Like, and I still didn't disclose that me and Thomas were tight, but I think maybe he got the heads up. So, the votes went on, obviously, Danny. We decided not to save him. But what I didn't do is vote for Danny.
Mm.
So I said in my thing, I said, I voted for Josh because I knew Josh was still very liked in the house. And I knew people wanted Tom out and I knew people wanted Danny out. So I threw a dummy vote to Josh, knowing that Josh wouldn't go home. And I said that even though I know Danny is going home tonight, I said, I'm not going to put a bullet in one of my own soldiers because three of my own people, alliance members, real alliance members, were sitting in that chair, Josh, Tommy, and Danny. They were the real ones. And even though I was very tight with Bernie, I knew he was a top, tough competitor, as I said, and I was playing third fiddle on that one, and I knew that he pulled out on the first vote, which then made me feel like I couldn't trust him for very high-energy votes.
Yep.
So long story cut short, we get voted out, Danny, and then Ellie and Bernie, we made a pact that we'd go into Big Brother's room after we voted out Danny and we'd gloat about how we voted out Danny. And they went in there and Ellie and Danny and Bernie are like, yeah, we got him out. We got him out. We got the best player out. And, you know, congratulations to Bernie. He did it. He did do it. He did it well. But I was sitting beside him going, Like, as in, yous are going next. Like, yous don't understand, but they couldn't see my eye line to the camera, to Big Brother. So I was kind of like going, you wait, like, I'm coming for yous too, you know? And then the next vote.
Was that Bernie and Ellie were on the chairs.
Yeah, Bernie and Ellie were on the chairs, and I'd won the advantage. Now, at that point, me and Jess had started talking strategy because she was aligned with Imogen. And Ellie and Bernie were and me were all up because Josh randomly put me up and he didn't even tell me. So I was like, oh, screw you. But it was funny. Like, he kind of like put me up and I was like, well played, because I'd told him that I was planning on blindsiding Bernie and Ellie and that we're this secret three. So he thought, oh, it makes sense. Just put these three up and then we'll go for one of them. So we started playing the game really well. But what happened was, I had told Tom that we're going to go for Bernie, so he was happy to go for Bernie. Jess and Imogen wanted to go for, or they were going to go for Bernie. But I told Jess and Imogen and Thomas to all tell, and Josh, because we would all sit together, to tell Ellie and Bernie that they wanted to vote Mia. So it gives them a different storyline. And so it thinks that all of a sudden that Bernie and Ellie have this big pool that they're going to vote me out in the chair, which they probably wouldn't have been able to anyways. Like, the votes wouldn't have went on me. I believe they would have went on Bernie anyways. But even if they had, I had the escape artist. And so when Bernie realized that it was us three, I kept shaking his hand. I was like, whatever happens tonight, it's a great, you know, it's been good. But whoever, I kept saying, whoever disappears tonight, like, we've all played a good game. And then I was like, like I said, you know, yeah, as again, whoever disappears, I think it's been great. So I kept saying disappears to him, knowing that I was going to disappear. And then I left and they put me down into this sewer room. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be here for 2 days. So within the hour or 2 hours there, I started going crazy, building these little men. And you know how on Survivor you got that ring and you throw the ring and it lands on
it?
Yeah, I started building one of them. And I was sitting in there for an hour and it was getting hot and stunk in there. And then I was like, and then they finally pulled me out after the eviction. I was like, far out. I thought I was going to be in there for like 2 days again, because I had like PTSD from the small room. But anyways, I came out there and they all laughed and I was like, oh, my God, you escaped with the advantage, because I didn't tell anyone about advantage. They thought I had the advantage was going to be in the immunity challenge, but I didn't use anything. Josh won that.
So Josh didn't know anything about your advantage when
nothing, he was in the challenge. Nothing. He just said, I hope that it would keep you out of being eliminated. Mm. And I was like, okay. So, yeah, it was good, like, good on him, you know, for not telling him. It shows he had, you know, he still was playing his own game, you know. But I don't think he actually wanted me actually to go. He just wanted to put me in the chair just to make sure that that three that I told him that was working was someone was going to go home out of that three. So moving on, Bernie goes. Now it's just Ellie, me, Josh, Tommy and the girls and Dane. And then what happened next after
that? It was the double eviction.
The double eviction, yeah. So this is where – who won that next challenge to put Ellie and Dane up for – and who else was there? Josh again, I think.
Thomas.
Thomas. Thomas was up there. So once again, Josh and Tom are there. No, sorry. Tom was there, which was my person that I wanted to keep. So I think it was Jess won that one, didn't she? And put Ellie, Dane, and Thomas. Yes. So I had told they. I'd realized that the girls had made this all girl alliance all the way to the end, and I was like, "Well, that's funny that Ellie's now doing this all girl alliance," because I'd even told him a couple before. I think it was before Bernie went, and that's when I was putting the seeds in it. I was like, it's hilarious that you have this. This is before Bernie went. I said, me, Bernie, and Ellie were supposed to go all the way to the end. So it was supposed to be us three to the end. So it's so funny now that Bernie's gone and they went for me that now you've got this all three girls to the end. That was not the original case. Yous were all going to get blindsided. It was me, Bernie, and Ellie. So I really pushed that agenda to be like, to the girls, to be like, to Ellie, why would you want to keep her around when she was playing on blindside news anyways? So then I made the push to vote Ellie off instead of Dane because I knew that I wanted to finish the job. I knew that Ellie was someone that was very, very nice in the house, like, but she was on her last strings and I wanted to finish that Bernie-Ellie situation and take that out. And because Dane's very visible threat for me, like he's there all the time, where Ellie was still aligned with the girls emotionally and stuff. So I tried to really push that. We voted off Ellie. We got full votes for Ellie. And then went for the second one. We wanted Dane anyway. So I was like, let's go Dane. So we went Ellie, Dane, and then they got saved. And we were like, far out, you know. I've always thought the fact that if you get voted out, whether it was Tara in the first season, whether it's even this season with Brains vs. Brawn, even though that Kara got voted out, made a great storyline, love Kara. I feel like any time you get to an end and you've been voted out, I feel like you should never win. That's my own opinion because you've been given a second chance. Now, when there's the double vote out, I would not class Dane as being voted out. I would class only as Ellie being voted out and Dane's getting a second chance, so he should be able to come back in. Say, for instance, like, you know. But then there's the same time when I say that, Hayley got voted out on that season.
Yeah.
And she came back in, and I would classify her as the best woman survivor player in the history of probably of the game, nearly. So I'm not trying to sit there and say that being voted out determines how good of a player you are. I just believe that in the fairness of the game, I think that it should work out that if you get to the end, it should be a very, very, very big thing in an argument to say you have been voted off and you got a second chance. I've made it all the way to the end and I haven't been voted off. Or in my case, you just couldn't even put me in the chair. You just haven't been able to put me in the chair the whole way. So moving, that's how strategize, like I really think about these games purely on a strategic level, not on a real life human level, just on a strategic making to the end. And as Survivor has evolved, I think over the years, I think, you know, the 2020, the younger generation, even to my generation, I feel like as you are picked for these games, these super fans, I feel like I know there's always the emotional level and you can't avoid that situation. But as a strategic game level, I think everyone should be going in with that mentality, as in be strategic, you know, do what you need to do to get to the end. But moving forward, we got Ellie and Dane out. Dane went to the room. We were surprised. We were like, ah. The girls were surprised. They were like, ah, you know, we were sitting at dinner. I knew something was going to go on. And then they came back into the game with the Dominoes Challenge. And I didn't know exactly how to handle it, but I just knew that we had to win to make at least only one of them come back in. And we did. And I said that Tom had a sore leg and he was worried that, like, he'd been saying around this time that he doesn't know how much longer he can play in the game because he had a sore leg and it had been causing him a lot of grief. And I kept saying, well, just wait until you see what the challenge is because you don't know. You might not even be a challenge. You need to use your leg. So this is where his leg started playing up. Anyways, moving forward is they came back to the game. Oh, the girls that night got upset that they're coming to the game and they were running around the backyard and they were throwing things and stuff. Now, me and Josh were in the room and when I rewatched that back, I think we probably gauged that a little bit wrong. Like they were in the room, you know, talking about Ellie and being like, ah, you know, she shouldn't be about in, saying some things about her. And then when we're in the room and they're outside, I actually thought they were really going off. But when I rewatched it back, I was like, oh, it was quite funny, actually. Like, they're screaming, ah! But we're like, holy shit, they are really, really upset. But when you watch back, you're like, it was actually quite funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, them screaming together. Jess didn't even know what she was screaming about. She was just supporting a friend. And so I thought that was funny. And I think we just probably gauged it wrong, but we took advantage of the situation. So when Ellie came back into the house, Josh said, I'm going to pull her aside and tell her some of the things the girls had said about him. And, you know, I don't think it was meant. It was just like Dane being upset in an emotional state and the next day waking up going, everything's fine. But they got upset at her. It's not my place. Josh said, I'm going to tell Ellie. I said, look, you do what you think's right. Personally, I don't. I wouldn't have. I didn't tell Ellie. Like I just said, whatever Josh has said is probably correct because I just I didn't feel like I like to say, for instance, if you're with me right now and you're venting about someone. Now, sometimes people just need a vent.
Yeah.
You don't need, like, personally with my situation, I wouldn't run back to the person you just vented about and said, this person said this, this, this. I just let you vent. And the beautiful thing is, and then I just, it's not none of my drama and I stay out of it. But I let that happen. He told him, and I said to Ellie, yeah, look, whatever Josh has probably said is exactly the truth and what happened. And that's when we created, really, really put a knife into this group, and I took advantage of it because I was always worried that even though I was aligned to Imogen and Jess and Josh and Thomas, I was always worried if I got to the end with me and Josh, Ellie and Imogen, that if Ellie and Imogen won, they might just take Josh through and I lose. I came fourth against. And knowing I was playing with Josh, and I really wanted to get him to the end, I felt it made better sense to get to the end with Josh and me and potentially Imogen. That was my final three. But then Thomas, he had his sore leg, which was an ongoing issue. Even though I was alive with Thomas, I kind of just wanted to drop him off the end and go through with some players that have played the game a bit more, where he'd only played it with me. And I felt like he deserved to experience the whole thing. But I just felt better taking someone to the end that was being a bit more strategic with multiple people rather than he just being strategic with me. So what happened was then Ellie makes it in. I think Tom goes next. So I won. So I had still put Ellie in the chair and I was saying that I was going to make Ellie the most nominated player to ever be in the history of Big Brother. So I put her in the chair. Looked at her when I voted her and she was like, what the hell? Because she already knew I was crazy. So I just kept making it look like I was even more crazy. But I was the one who pulled her aside and said, if you want to stay in this game, I said, the only way I see you staying in this game is through the girls because the whole house wanted her out. It had been said multiple times and I'd listened to it and I said, the only way I see you getting back is in with the girls. And I tried to manipulate that situation. I said, but you need to apologize. You need to sit there and really lean on them, even though you know they've said all this stuff about you and they wanted to get you out. And anyways, it worked. She got back with the girls. They promised top three again. It saved her. It got Dane out over Ellie. Then Ellie realizes that I've got her back because I was the only one that gave her the real direction way to go moving forward in the game. She comes back. I try to take advantage and use Ellie by breaking up the girls so I don't have to do it because I didn't really want to. If I, you know, like, because we were being so tight, I used Ellie to break up the girls rather than me. And I took advantage of that relationship breakdown. And then Ellie, I put Ellie up, but I said, you're safe. And Tom up.
It's Ellie and Tom.
Yeah, Tom. Went up. No, Jess put Ellie, Tom. Yeah, that's right. So it was Jess that put Ellie and Tom up. And at that time, so Tom pulled me aside just before the scramble and said, hey, brother, send me home. I said, my leg's cactus. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll make it happen. So I sat there and kept Ellie in, and I probably would have voted Ellie out at that time and kept Tom.
Yeah.
But Tom said, vote me out. So I made the moves and told everyone, we need to go, Tom. He's actually asked us to send him home. His leg's stuck. That was locked in place. Everyone was done. Now, about two minutes before lockdown, Tom goes, actually, I want to stay. And I was like, what? I was like, the plan's in place. Yeah, the plan's in place. Like, I'm not running around like a crazy man trying to save you right now. So I was like, I didn't say sorry, but I was like, I'll see what I can do. And then we voted Tom out. So now there's Ellie, me, Josh, Jess, and Imogen. And this is the final five, the real final five. Now, going into that, Ellie knows I've still got her back because I was the one who helped her stay back in the game. She still wants revenge. I keep trying to make sure that's going to happen for her. So then Ellie wins. Yes. And she puts both the girls up, but again, keeps me out of the seat. So it works perfect. She finally gets the revenge that she's getting. Now, obviously, I want Imogen to stay, and Imogen works it out with Ellie in the house. And they sort out their stuff. Obviously, we vote for Jess. Now, at that time, I think Jess kind of seen the writing on the wall as well. So she was, I think, ready to check out. You know, it's been a long 21 days or whatever, 20 days. You know, I know it's close to the end, but she was like, yeah, look, vote for me as well. Like, she'd rather her go over her friend Imogen, so she did the righty. Jess, as I said, really nice person, very, very funny person. And at that point in the game, she would rather see her friend stay in the game than her. She was checked out. So we voted for Jess, which still made sense for me. We move forward now with Ellie, Imogen, and Josh. Now, moving forward with that, Josh wins the next challenge. He puts up Imogen and Ellie. Now, that was a tight one. Obviously, at the same time, we get given an hour to scramble. If I'd won that challenge, I was planning on blindsiding Ellie and keeping Imogen, me, and Josh. Even though I told Josh that, yeah, we're going to take Ellie at the end, I still had this relationship with Imogen from the start. So that was my plan. I was going to keep it completely secret until the last second. But because Ellie thought that it was us three. But Josh won. He was said wanted to keep Ellie in. I sat there and only said to Josh about why he should keep me in. So that whole time in the hour scramble, I was pleading to him, please keep me. I wasn't at all saying keep me and Imogen. It was just keep me. So I didn't try to sway his opinion because that's his job at the end to pick who he wants at the end. I actually was saying that in a joking way, I was like, hey, Josh, I know, you know, we've played this game together for a long time, but, and I know the girls and me are up on the seat. I said, but just so you know, for your information, the girls on multiple times have said that you bought your TikTok followers, you know, just as a joke. And because he was like laughing. And so we're having this banter between each other. And I said, and also they said that you've got ugly feet, you know. So I just started doing all this funny joke and stuff just to kind of like keep the banter and the friendship with us alive that I hoped he would take me to the end, because a little bit of me, just a little bit, was like, he's going to burn me at the end. Like, he was like, even sitting in the chair, he goes, if my old man was still here, he would probably tell me to vote you out, Luke. And I was like, well, you don't listen to him. So he went through, took Ellie through the end, voted out Imogen. Obviously, my relationship with Imogen was a lot more closer with each other than Josh and Imogen, even though they were very close as well, and Ellie. But he decided, you know, you could probably flip a coin, I'd say, but he took Ellie through the end, which then made it us the final three. And I was extremely grateful that Josh took me through the end, because for once I get to see the end. And in the end, I played it exactly how I'd close to say a pretty perfect game. No one put me in the chair other than my own closest alliance member that tried to, but lucky had the advantage. And even when he won the final challenge, it wasn't like I was put in the chair. It was just I was relatively landed in the chair because there was three chairs there and you had to go in it. So I look back on the game, I think I played very well. All the human moments I had with everyone, whether it be even, you know, as I said, with Maddie and his struggle, and whether it be Tom and talking about his life back in America, and they're all real. you don't sit there and go through these games and have like these conversations and still just go, oh, yeah, I was a snake all the way to the end. I think strategically how I'm going to move forward. But on top of strategically, you're always going to have human moments in that house, just like on Survivor, just like whoever. And, you know, if Josh didn't pick me that night, I would have been like, probably congratulations. Like, that is like, you were funny as. Like, I can't believe you did. Like, that's why I was like, you had me sweating there. You had me sweating because I actually felt for a second, I was like, he was the only one who nominated me in the chair last time and didn't even tell me. So you can't fully get what people are going to do until they do it. But at the end, I thought right at the end, if I won that challenge, I was going to do one last sneaky blind side on Ellie and take Imogen through to the end. Just for the fact that why not finish with one last blindside, you know? and in the end, because then it just makes a very unpredictable game all the way through, just like I've always done. You know, I probably shouldn't have voted Abby out when it came to Survivor in 2019, and maybe I would have got to the end if I did. But I did it anyways just for the TV value, for the fact that just knowing the votes and creating a big blindside. I've always wanted to create big blindsides, even if it's sometimes in detriment to my game. Because I've always felt that, you know, if you played the game on day one in 2017 and I didn't pull off any moves and then I just got voted off, well, then I didn't do anything. You know, I was a number for someone. I like to control the votes and show that I control them, and because it resonates. And when you get to the end, I always look at it as in a resume. What's your resume? What have you done? What have you taken control of in this game that no one can take away of you, like the Abby vote? Like, no one could say they said they controlled that vote. No one knew anything about it. So it's always been that for me. It's always been get to the end and be like, well, now let's talk about my game. I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. Like, exactly like King George does. You know, actually getting to the end and going, well, no one had a clue. Like, there was three gameplays, there was three plans, and I knew every single plan. Every single one. I knew every single layered plan, and then I played it perfectly, like he did, played the idol on Kara, or I think it was. And I think Kara might have played on him. I can't remember. And he got every single vote on him and then won on the other, which made the move. That's just showing how in control of the whole situation you are. And when you get to the end, you know, I really feel like Haley and George, I wish there could have been two winners.
Yeah, yeah.
I really wish, because they both deserved it.
Yeah.
You know? But that's how I look at the game. I've always looked at the game like that. That's how I go in and play. I say I go in to play for war. I left my emotions at home. I left all my things at home because, unfortunately, you got to play a hard game. And Ellie played an extraordinary game. She came back and fought back and managed to turn the girls around off her own. You know, obviously, I tried to manipulate that, but she still did all the work. She's extremely hard in challenges. She fights to the end. You can see when even going through the ice water and the digging with the sand, complete challenge beast. I'd like to actually see her on Survivor. I think she'd do really well.
Yeah,
I think
that's what we, yeah.
Yeah. Joshy, just a very nice, genuine bloke. Imogen, I actually feel like Imogen, if I took her in, would have been a tough one to beat because she's just such a nice person. And there's a lot more to Imogen. She's like, that's why, like, after the show, like, I got a lot of love for her, you know? She's just a really nice person. And, again, Jess gets a hard time. She gets probably the hardest time out of every single person in that house, in the public and in social media. And, you know, people always want to sit there and look at people's, you know, past. And when you look at the situation with her, like, she's very motherly. She was always making sure there was food for us and cooking and, you know, and making sure. You know, she's a bag of laughs, you know, and she does not change for anybody. She doesn't change who she is. She owns who she is. And I respect that hugely. And same with Thomas. Gets a, you know, don't get me wrong, he's rough around the edges, just like me. But he's a he's got a good heart on him. You know, he grew his son up and has had, you know, like everyone in life, everyone has family and goes through rough times and has highs and lows in their life, and no one's ever defined by a moment.
Can you tell us a bit more about Tom? Like, I think one of our big criticisms of the show has been with Tom, they never developed his character. We really only got the focus on the Meghan Markle. So tell us a bit about what Tom really is like apart from that.
Look, Tom, I look at him as I would call him literally a gentle giant because he's a big boy. He's obviously in the past, in his history, he's had a wife that has caused probably him a lot of drama. You know, when you're going through domestics and stuff with a woman that has probably had, you know, like any relationship, when you love each other, but there's domestics, it's very hard to split. And when there's kids involved, I've been involved in that and have had to grow up in a lot of domestic violence. And when the two parents love each other and they keep getting back to every weekend, but the house keeps getting smashed up every weekend, I feel like it got very toxic between him and his wife, and he had a kid involved. And when he finally said, that's enough, you know, and he moved away and he grabbed his kid and he's grown up his son. And there was obviously a bit of a custody battle between them that went back and forth. Now, irrelevant of that, he's a good dad. Like, he's obviously still very close to his son. And they, you don't stay very close to your kids if all of a sudden you're a bad parent. So say, for instance, there's that situation. That's his private life. Great cook as well. He's a great cook, I need to say, because he's cooking in the house. He took over. Bernie and him were the best cooks. If I was going to do MasterChef, them two need to be on it. Moving forward with him is Tom came in and he was very vocal about how his sister's, you know, not a nice person, would you say, or not a nice person. I wouldn't say that. I'd say that he's very disgusted in the way that she has abandoned his side of the family and how she's abandoned his dad in the main story. Like, so, but the problem is with that is I can understand that because, say, for instance, Megan is, it's like you want to leave your, if you have a bad family, you don't leave them behind, right? Don't get me wrong. Yes, you try to direct them. I've got family in my life and brothers that have done some very bad stuff. And even though they have, I've always tried to direct them to do good. And, but it's people are always still going to do what they want to do, you know? Now, the problem is with him is his sister's gone off and married a prince. Now, that doesn't happen very often. One of his main things was once it happened, he started getting hounded by all the TV, you know, by TV, and people were rocking up to his house wanting to interview him after he'd finished a big day of working, you know, as a glazier. So he just had a normal job just like me, and then next thing he's getting reporters rock up to his house. Now, it pissed him off. And he would tell him to screw off and he'd tell him, you know, get away. And he was like, just want to go inside. And I was like trying to relate to him. I was like, I totally understand you're pissed off, but can you imagine what your sister's dealing with? Your sister's dealing with the exact same. So yous are actually arguing about the same thing, but yous are both going through the same thing.
Mm.
And I know for a fact you've got a sister that I see on the news quite often, and she's always at Megan. And she's very angry. She's always like, you know, you could, even if you did 1,000 things right, you've always done something wrong. And I don't like his sister, but I don't think she's a good mouthpiece for that side of the family.
Mm.
And you can't, because his sister is always aggressive and always at Megan, wrap them all up in the same group. Like his dad. Dad, I think his dad's a really nice person. Like, I think that, you know, he's like Santa Claus, you know? Mm. And don't get yourself wrong, I know he'd be upset and he'd want to reconnect with his daughter and even just say congratulations. As I said to Thomas, I said, everyone grows up and goes their own path and does their own thing. You don't have to be brothers and sisters that live in the same house and always have to talk and live on top of each other. I said, even if you caught up and said hello once for Christmas, that's still good. That's fine. You don't need to keep talking about your sister in a bad light and whatever. But he's even told his sister off to say, stop it. Stop mentioning Megan. Stop going after her. Stop trying to criticize everything it is. But you can see that it's now become the norm that after you talk shit about someone, whether it be your sister and people want an article, it's easy to constantly do it because once you do it once, it's easy to do it again. It's become this thing that the media have just blown up. And I was trying to tell him that I was like, the letter that you wrote, I was like, I can guarantee it probably comes out of anger. The fact is, like, if I said to my sister or my brother, you know, screw you, blah, 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 say whatever, we could have an argument, a fight. I've actually had a fight with my brother over the years, but we still make up. Because we're family. We will never agree on certain things. We never, ever will disagree on everything. We have common ground, but we, like everyone in this whole world, we have disagreements. And with Thomas and his sister, if he's talking about his sister, talk about it. But just don't take it to the media.
Yeah.
You don't need to sit there and have that vent with your dad. You don't need to put it out to the world. If you want to sit there and call your sister a bitch, say, for instance, do it behind closed doors. Do it to her. Tell her. Because eventually it's between you two, but not between you and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So I said, by putting out that letter, I feel like you've actually backstabbed her because you've gone out of this world, and I can see it's from Amber, but you need to make amends. So that's when the letter kind of came up. And I said, just say sorry. You're angry. Then deal with your own stuff privately. And I feel like move on with your life. I said, if she sees the letter, great. If she doesn't, it doesn't matter. But for you to heal yourself and sort out for your inner anger towards your sister, I think it will help you move forward in your life because you still have your son and you still have your dad and you still have your family and your friends around you that you love. And deep down, you know you're a good person. And that's all that matters. And other people's opinions don't matter. And if your sister wants to go off and live her life and you just never speak again, that's what happens. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a way to contact her, message her or email her or anything. So that's why he put the letter out because it was upsetting because he's got no direct conversation. But we're all adults, we're all grown-ups. If she wanted to make amends, she would. If she doesn't, just let her be. Let her live her life. He's happy that she's, like, as I said, like, when two people get married or they get together, you might not like the other person. But out of respect, you respect their partner. You don't have to have much to do with them. You don't have to do anything. You don't need to trash Harry. I can be assured that Harry and Megan argue a lot, just like every married couple, just like every couple that's dealing with kids and dealing with the public and dealing with everything. But I can guarantee you through the love of their kids and their relationship, they love each other and they're probably going to be together forever. But unfortunately, family members might not look at it like that because they are not in that relationship. All they do is see that it's going to all crumble and fold. And when it doesn't and it goes for the next 30 years and they're still together when they're 80, is it then do you say, I told you so? Like, does Megan and Harry then go, I told you so? Like, it nearly feels like everyone wants it to fail. They want it to fail because it's always like, oh, Harry's this or Megan's that. And, you know, they analyze every word. You know, and it's like, how about just leave them alone? Let them be who they are. You can actually guarantee that deep down, the amount of good that Megan and Harry have done over their life is probably 1,000 more than the people that are criticizing them from the couch, you know, that because what they haven't done. And with their relationship and their brothers and friendships and all that stuff, I just said, dude, just stop talking shit about it. Just let it be now. move on, live your life, and if you remake after this, great. But I just think for now, I think it helps Tom. And I actually love that. I hope it has, you know. That's my personal opinion on it, and that's what I think about Tom. He's definitely rough around the edges, just like me and just like a lot of people in life. But I think he's got a good heart on him, and I hope he succeeds in everything he does in life going forward, you know?
Yep. That's great. So one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking about your strategy earlier was I was quite struck. I think one of the big differences between the gameplay in Big Brother versus Survivor was in Survivor, both times you had a really clear ride or die person, Jericho or David.
Yes.
And then you certainly had all the other relationships, but there was one really clear priority alliance. Did you have that in the Big Brother house? It sounds like you actually had three or four always going at one time.
Well, exactly. This is what made it probably even harder, is because when you've got 12 people, I had created such a very strong connection with certain people that I was struggling with the fact of burning them. So when Tom said to vote me out, I was like, I'm going to have to take that event. I have to take it now because I don't want to vote Tom out. I would love to go to the end with Tom. But when he said vote me out, I was like, I've got to do it because I've got to drop these very close relationships because I've made such very close bonds with these people that it is going to hurt blindsiding them. Even though I'll still go to the Big Brother room and I'll do a funny joke, it still hurts to go, like, I got to vote Tom out. You know, I look at it as in Tom was going to go out on day one or day two through everyone. So with him having a sore leg and me trying my everything for the whole game to make sure he stays in as well for my game, it made sense at that time, you know, and that's how I looked at it. You know, obviously when Josh put me up, you know, it made me question. I was like, oh, am I going to, should I maybe return the favor, you know, and push Josh up? But a little bit, you have like these little inner thoughts, but then it's like, nah, Josh is solid. Like it didn't show, but you know, like Ellie, we had that post office thing and, you know, they showed the meltdown between, I'll say Jess not jumping up for those photo shoots. It showed Josh's meltdown when he was outside and the cats screaming voices, but it didn't show and it was funny, but it didn't show like Ellie had a meltdown as well when we had to do the outside post office thing, that she didn't want to stay outside all night, like didn't go on the show to stay outside all night. You know, obviously I think she was a bit exhausted from the game and she didn't do that. She stayed out. She went to bed all night while me and Josh stayed up from 12 o'clock all the way to like 6 a.m. or whatever it was. We did the whole night together and we laughed and we talked and we laid under that post office for the whole night, the whole bloody night. We did shift after shift after shift while everyone slept. And that just tightened my bond with him even more. So with Ellie not doing that, it just made me even more certain that I need to blindside Ellie. I would keep telling Ellie that I wanted to blindside Josh. I was always trying to play both sides of that. But when you sit there and you spend all that time, as I said, you know, we collected the most money out of every single person. We didn't even know that Imogen and Jess were planning on not catching any. So it was lucky that me and Josh sat outside and we collected, I would say, close to 60% of that money that came out of that thing. Dane did really well. Thomas did really well. But with Ellie not doing it because she didn't want to do it, me and Josh doing it, it just tightens our, you know, alliance up even further. So that's those little moments. If it was me and Ellie out near the letterbox all night doing it together, maybe I would have move the other way. You can only move when you see your game moving forward with certain people, and when you spend that time, that's what happens. So
how did you feel about the whinging? There was a lot of whinging about we're starving, it's so cold.
I was sitting on the couch laughing about that. I was always having a laugh because I was like, okay, I've always eaten life. But I think that the whinging, I don't feel like it's really like, oh, like there wasn't really any like, you know, people, even though it was whinging, it was kind of like half whinging, you know, making it out like, come on, give us something, give us some chocolate, give us some chips, you know. For me, sitting on the couch, taking in the yogurt and tuna and stuff was me just kind of laughing about it, like, okay, like, because I thought the public would realize me whinging about any of that stuff would just be hilarious. So I was always like, even doing the eye thing again when they were holding the food, I was like, you know, so.
In Survivor, you've often talked about how a lot of the strategizing happens late at night when you're up late talking to your ride or die and everyone else is sleeping. They didn't really show that on Big Brother. Was that something that happened in the Big Brother house?
No, it didn't happen. At about 10 o'clock, probably about an hour or 2 hours after someone's been eliminated, it's bedtime. Everyone goes to bed. That's why Big Brother is so much easier. You don't even have to stay up during the night. You get a full night's sleep. I'd always wake up relatively one or two first people and I'd get a bit of strategy in before anyone's woken up. But I was up early. Tom was up early. So we would always, it was always me and him talking about, you know, the last day, you know, kind of, you know, getting our strategy in place before everyone was up. But from 10 o'clock overnight, no one would talk strategy. Everyone would go have showers. You know, it was very much slower than Survivor ever is. You know, Survivor, there could be four plays before you wake up that have happened and changed, where Big Brother is just as soon as it's like, you know, people wouldn't even talk after dinner. Like, it'd be very limited. So that's when I knew that I need to wind it back a bit.
So at what point did you think about, or did you think about starting to play the TV audience and sort of doing a jury management with them because they're the ones that are going to vote in the winner? Was that ever part of your strategy?
Yeah, of course. For day one, that was the 4-3-3. That's my jury management. That's the public vote right there. That's the people that see that I'm playing this game from day one and I'm not sitting there and just picking off people like a schoolyard pick, you know. Oh, I like you, so you stay in. You're the cool kid that has this many Instagram followers, or you're Caitlyn Jenner. You know, I don't care about that. It was all about gameplay, getting to the end, playing the game the hardest, and getting to the end to say every single vote I either controlled or I pulled off, same as I did in Survivor. Some people just hadn't watched Survivor, so if they did, they probably would have got me out very early.
So once you got to the final three, why didn't you solicit harder for votes from the public on social media?
Well, I was busy. I was at work. So I was, you know, it's I don't have, you know, I've had to take a day off today. So I'm off work today. I work a lot of hours and I've got three kids. I've got two dogs. So most of the times I'm a very busy person. Like even just being able to do this, I know I'm like, you know, time's a virtue for me. But I made a post. I can't sit there and go to a, you know, the Cali Beach Club every weekend or weekday. I've got three kids. I've got a 2-year-old. It's hard enough to get someone to babysit three kids. Can you imagine dropping three kids on someone saying I'm going out for a night, you know? I just had a night the other night and I went to the last two weekends I'd done that for two charity events, both for mental health, and they both raised over 100K. So, or one of them did. So, yeah, I've got to be selective in the time and the days I take off. I've got to manage it with work. So when it comes to, you know, advertising it, it's either on a train or I'm driving to work, which is an hour. So I drive to work for an hour. I can't use my phone while I'm at work. That's a 12-hour shift. There's an hour on either side. There's 14 hours. Most of the times I try to make a video when I'm walking my dogs or I'm in the gym and then I'm back home with the family and kids. So I just don't have the time. If you're going to pick me and you want me to win, you know, I gave the voting thing to people the day before, or even maybe the day after I'd watched that app. I had to watch it on replay because I was at work. So, you know, I can only do so much. You know, you've only got so much time in a day, and it was unbelievable. I was able to still pull the win away without having to do much advertising. I just let the game play for itself, and I didn't try to rally to say don't vote for Josh or Ellie. You know, they both had amazing causes, and I would have been happy to lose still again to both of them. And that's all it is to it, you know. Like, I played as good as a game as I could get to the end. I got to the end and let the public decide. That's if it was down to the jury, you know, some of the jury are not happy with me, and I obviously still got issues with them. But I would have still argued my game, and you know, as I said, win, lose or draw, I'm just happy I can bring it back to Perth. I'm going to be going to that hospital a lot of times in my life. For my whole life now, because of Madeline, and just to be able to, you know, bring it back to Perth. Perth is, you know, we got Dave over here from Survivor. Mm. You know, we got myself now, you know, pulling out Big Brother. Like, I think we try to do as good as we can. That's all we can do over here. And I'm extremely grateful to every single person that's voted. My son, as I said on the radio, I was like, he went to school. After he regrets saying that I don't think Dad's going to lose on TV, and he went to school and did a presentation, and was trying to rally the kids at school and say that, you know, please vote for my dad to win. And you know, it's just I've got a lot of people that I feel like I haven't burnt many bridges in my life. You know, I've been tried to do as good as I can throughout my whole life. And I just showed I had a lot of votes through everyone that I've worked with over the years, everyone that I've met over the years. And for me to pull it out the bag when you've against someone like Ellie that had a big love online, mm-hmm. as well, and she had a lot of support, and she had done a lot of work in her campaign to win. So she deserves all the credit in the world, because I know that Ellie puts in a lot of hard work for that, and she really wanted it for her charity as well. So, yeah, look, in the end, I hope I can still raise some money for Josh's as well now. You know, I've chucked on some auction items that you'll see that, yeah, I don't know if you've already seen, but you know, that shirt that I wore in 2019, I always wanted to hold on to that and frame that. But, you know, obviously I think it's if I can raise some money from that and give it to Keith's Closet, you know, the money's going to be in that shirt, and the money from that will do way better things than me just holding onto it in my bag. So
tell us, Luke, where do the listeners find out about the auction?
So on my auction, there's the Luke Tokey channel. It's just my little Facebook page. And if you look, the link in the bio on my Instagram, you click on that, they'll send you through the shirt. And I'm hoping, look, I haven't really worked it all out perfectly, but the other items should be hopefully on my page. So if you click on the shirt and then hopefully click on my profile, it should have the other five items. It finishes on the 1st of December. So we got 7 days, now 5 days, I think. So there's a lot of bids that are already gone in. There's a lot of people watching them. I think there are a lot of people interested. So hopefully we raise some money for Joshy. And the other thing I've done is I only signed up for Cameo as soon as I got out of Big Brother. I haven't been on Cameo for any of my other seasons. So I've only signed up for that. So I've been picking away at that for the last couple months. And all the way up to the 1st as well, I'm going to donate everything from Cameo to Keith's Closet as well. So I'm hoping I can kind of pull together 5 to 10 grand for him. And then there's my Big Brother experience wrapped up, and hopefully move forward with the rest of my life.
We'll link those in the show notes as well. So if people are interested, go to the show notes and you'll see the details there.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say, I mean, last question, because you've been so generous to spend this time with us, and I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is your move into the entertainment industry? Are you going to quit real estate? What are we going to see you on next? Or have you had enough? What are the plans?
You know what? I actually feel like I'm probably going to go the other way, is actually retire. not with work. I feel like, you know, these shows, they're time-consuming. Like, you know, when you add it all up with the time that I've spent away from, you know, all up for with quarantines, with flights, with me organizing my life to do these shows, whether it be your suitcases for everything and your time away from your family, no contact. You know, to pull away from the wind is great. At the moment, I'm studying real estate, so I'm actually doing quite well with that. That could be an option because then me and my wife can both like get involved in that and see where that kind of takes me. I've been in the mining for the last 15 years. I'm still doing that. I just feel that, you know, like, look, ask me in a few years, but I feel like I need to take a step away from it for a bit just to, I guess, they're exhausting mentally. They exhaust me physically. And I think just after each one, I always try to, I've taken 2 years off pretty much between each one. And that's been for the last 6 years, you know? And I just, yeah, time's come that I want to step away for probably a little bit, I think.
Thank you so much, Luke. We really appreciate you coming on the podcast. Congratulations. The whole RHAP community voted and was behind you. So well done.
Thanks, girls.
Well, there you have it, everyone. That's winner Luke Toki telling us his game day by day, almost vote by vote. Fascinating to get those strategic insights there and a little bit about his life currently and to come. So, Amy, where can people find you?
I'm at Survivor Tragic on Twitter. You can follow my various reality TV ramblings there, or you can listen to one of my podcasts, Beyond YOLO, which I plugged in our last podcast, and then also Kids Pod.
Wonderful. And you can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carradine. We'd like to thank so much Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes for all his assistance. And for this episode, we would like to extend our thanks to Chris, who was instrumental in getting this interview together. So thanks, Chris. But for now, we're going to say it's time to go. So goodbye.
Bye.